Blog Talk Radio.
Our listeners out there, and welcome to a new season of Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. My name is Makua. I am your co-host for this exploration in natural time, and I am joined by my collaborator and good friend Ruben Yinas, calling in from Bogota, Colombia. Greetings, Brother Ruben.
Greetings, Brother Makua, Indakesh, and happy Easter. Happy April
Indeed.
Fool's Day. Yeah, very special day to resurrect the radio show and talk about this special day that there is today.
Absolutely. I'm very, very happy that we could join each other in this time-space opportunity through these tools such as Blog Talk Radio. And people, you're listening to a little bit of Black Gold of the Sun, New Eurekan Soul remake of a song by the Rotary Connection from the 1970s or late 60s. Classic song, but I thought it was fitting in the energy of the resurrection of the light of the sun, the energy of Easter, which has so many layers of meaning. I know we're going to get into some of that in the discussion tonight. But this is certainly a very auspicious time, I think, with the overlay, as you mentioned, of April Fool's Day. You know, a lot of people don't know that there's actually a connection to calendar reform and April Fool's Day. So that's an interesting thing to help peel the layers back for people for their comprehension and understanding. And then also an understanding of, you know, what's also happening generally I think it's important to note that we haven't actually had a proper broadcast in quite a few months. And as you said to me,
we did on
Equinox message recently. Yeah, exactly. Equinox was the last one, actually. So here we are, sort of as a whole half a year since then. But I think it's very auspicious because it is the time of resurrection, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere with the energy of spring. And it's a chance to reflect on the fact that I think you said to me, in fact, in a message recently that, you know, we are in an entirely new world since the last broadcast we've had. And I think that's important not to overlook. We definitely want to. It's as if it is a 180. It's very true.
Yeah.
So I want to invite people to call into the show. The magic of this show is your participation. So we want to encourage people to go ahead and call in if you have a comment, any questions, or even just to listen. And that number is 516-666-8286. Again, that number is 516-666-8286. It appears they've changed our number on us. I don't remember that being the number before, but that's okay.
Yeah, me neither.
Very interesting set of numbers here.
Yes.
But nevertheless, here we go. You know, this is a really powerful day. And also to note, as people probably are aware, we're in the astronomical period of Mercury in retrograde, which presents its own set of challenges when it comes to anything pertaining to communications, whether that's communicating new agreements with people or commitments or contracts. It's recommended not to enter into any new agreements during the Mercury in retrograde period, which lasts up until about April 16th. But also, we've had some challenges with our platform here, because when I got inside to start the show today, it turned out we didn't have any of our bumpers or anything like that built in. You know, but it's okay. We're going to navigate it anyway. We have some great music lined up. But also, we had a special guest lined up who is not feeling is feeling quite under the weather right now. So I don't know if we'll be joined by our special guest. Maybe we will. That'll be a wonderful treat if we are. But either way, we definitely want to send her some healing energy and fortitude for her immediate health challenge that she's dealing with. So that's just the way that the things tend to go sometimes, especially during these periods of Mercury in retrograde. But I'm very happy to be on the show with you, Ruben, especially after you've published this very powerful new blog on calendartruth.info. And I know that it really addresses some of the many layers that we're looking at today. And I think it also is worth mentioning that today is Kin number 53, according to the Zolkin 260-day cycle, the dream spell calendar, and we can get into some of the special significance of the 52 plus 1 day being today, the red magnetic Skywalker wave spell. So there's a lot of things to get into tonight. We're happy, again, to be broadcasting online here on Now Time Radio once again and bringing this to people. Hopefully people are able to dial in and join the conversation. We certainly encourage you to give us a call at 516-666-8286. So without further ado, you know, I'd like to just go ahead and jump right in, Ruben. I mean, you made an incredible post, and I think that it helps if we can actually look at the post a little bit. If anybody wants to join us in looking at the post while we're live, or even if they're listening to the show after the fact, they can go to calendartruth.info, and it's going to be the most recent blog post there, entitled Easter 2018 on April Fool's Day, Make Sure the Joke is Not on You. I like that title.
Yes.
So I want to start by just reading this quote you have here, because I think it's very important in the consideration of what we're talking about here with Easter, with April Fool's Day. And this quote sums up quite a bit. It says, belief systems, believe it or not, are functions of time. What you believe defines the time you are living in. Any belief system is held in place by the calendar and sense of time in which it is encoded. And this is a quote from Jose Arguelles from his book, Time and the Technosphere, The Law of Time and Human Affairs, which was written, I want to say, and released back in, oh, was it 2001, early 2002? And
yes.
It's just one of those books that is still jumping off the page today because it is so full with so much valuable information and insight about the cycles and transformation that we're undergoing right now. So I just wanted to mention that. And I want to invite you, Ruben, to go ahead and elaborate a little bit on the significance of today, being that it's Easter Sunday, April 1st. You know, here we are. I'm currently in Washington, D.C., so it still is Easter Sunday on the evening of Easter, and you're also still on this April 1st day yourself. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for taking the initiative of also restarting the show on this day, resurrecting the show. I want to acknowledge that it has not been easy, probably for many, many people. Certainly here in Colombia, we are going through an environmental disaster, so it's been time of a lot of reflection. And a lot of perspective in terms of the future. But in order to understand this future and what is supposed to bring this 2018 with all the changes that have happened since we our last show, since the last Equinox, and how much things have keep progressing in a very fast pace, at a very, very fast pace. We're talking about basically the smart grid, which is the 5G network, which is probably one of the things that is being the nail in the coffin of a control system. So the idea of understanding the significance of today as being Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, being the one of the two most important observations within the Gregorian calendar, which is a calendar of the Catholic Church. It's called Gregorian because it was Pope Gregory XIII who enacted this Gregorian reform of 1582. So the role that the Catholic Church is playing in all of this is very important because basically our entire concept of time is based on this belief system of the Catholic Church that is based on a historic event that is the birth of Christ. So we are right now in to put these crossroads of the present into perspective. We need to realize that we are right now in the year 18 of the third millennium, which is the third millennium from the birth of Christ. So that's basically connecting with the initial quote from Jose that you read from Dr. Argüelles. This belief system has been in place for so many years that we are not even aware that it's in place. So
that's right.
It was really shocking on my side because this is the beauty of the work that we are doing is that I was not aware of the connection of April Fool's Day with the Gregorian Reform. It was a surprise for me two weeks ago to find this out. And
right.
And I remember that
speak on that a little bit more. Yeah, speak on that a little bit more though, so people really, really understand because this is such an amazing awareness and synchronicity, you know. In terms of the reform and what that meant for Pope Gregory the 13th.
Yeah, well, the fact is that Back in the Middle Ages, we especially in Europe, in France, they were used to follow the seasons. The people will start the year in the last week of March. So when the Gregorian reform took place, the start of the year went back to January 1st, and after some years, the people who were starting the year with the spring, which is kind of the natural way to start the year, were called fools because they were following the old calendar, and the new calendar was already being in place in the big cities like Paris and like most of the most important cities in Europe. So
that old calendar was that the Julian calendar? The old calendar that you're referring to?
Yeah, both the Julian and the Gregorian reforms were reforms enacted because of the inaccuracies in the calculation of Easter. So it was very important back in those days because those were the moments in time that the priest will use for their ceremonies, and because they will also dictate the times for war. We are talking about the Roman Empire is the still the persistent ideology or the persistent root of this calendar is the Roman Empire. So we have the Julian calendar, which comes from Julius Caesar, and then we have the Gregorian calendar that came in 1582 through Pope Gregory. And both were correcting an error in the calculation of Easter. And what is interesting is that today, the three codices from the Maya that are still alive are the three in Europe. They are the Paris Codex, the Madrid Codex, and the Dresden Codex. And it seems like there is more codices in the Vatican. So basically, they it's not that they are not aware of this information, because back in the times of the Spanish conquest, Bishop Diego de Landa enacted a book burning and also the death of many priests and sages and so that this knowledge could be buried. So it's been, let's say that we, part of the reason that we have been fooled, because this the if we put things into perspective, it is ironic that the people who were trying to follow the seasons were called fools, and that today we are celebrating still April Fool's Day, and that is synchronizing with Easter, which is one of the most important dates in the calendar, because it's a Christian calendar. It's based on the Christian belief.
Yes.
So the birth and the death and resurrection of the root protagonist of this belief system are really important as historical events to observe every year. And in the article, we were exploring also a little deeper into why they have become legal holidays in many countries, like here in Colombia. The week ends basically at noon Wednesday, and most people go out on holiday, on vacation. So it's a big holiday, and it's legal. And if we go deeper into the roots of why the holiday is not every year the same, considering that the death of Christ was supposed to be a historical event. So it is a very subjective way to determine the mm-hmm. real start of or the real Easter each year, the real Easter
right.
Sunday, because it's based on lunar exactly. cycles. But it's if I'm not wrong, it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So yesterday we had a full moon, and it was a blue moon,
yes.
which is the second full moon in a Gregorian month, and that only happens because March has 31 days, because in the 13 moon 28 day calendar, that will not happen. You will not have any moon or any month that will repeat the full moon. So,
and then we just had a blue moon in January too, though. So we just
yes, also.
in that phenomena of within the framing of the 31-day
yeah.
month. Yeah, that just happened in January too.
So it was,
and it won't happen again until 2020. That was a big
yeah.
one. That's true. So I want to speak to what you're saying, though, because you know, it sounds to me, and some people have been pointing this out more recently, that when we look at the text of the Bible itself, upon which this belief system is based, that there's actually, it could be perceived, if you had the view within which to see this, it could be perceived that it's really an astronomical guide, meaning it's guiding astronomical information such as these lunar and solar cycles, or these annual cycles, or these celebrations, and the fact that the Christmas date is always stationary to December 25th. However, the Easter date moves, as you just explained, according to the timing of the first full moon after the vernal or the spring equinox, rather, so that's actually based on an astronomical situation. It's not based upon, as you said, an event date, a date that an event was said to have happened. So that does in itself almost speak to the fact that it is in many ways allegorical or indicative of celestial cycles when we're talking about the actual sort of underpinning or the nature of the Bible itself, upon which this entire belief system is created. So it's very interesting, and I think it's important to note that, because then the fact that, you know, there are ceremonies that are carried out according to this. You know,
yes.
some are overt, others are very discreet. I think that's a very interesting thing too. Now, also in the article, in the blog that you recently released, it mentions though a declaration of the Pope that just happened this past week. That then it seems that the
really strange.
That everybody covered. It was on The Guardian, it was on BBC News, it was in the Drudge Report.
Mm-hmm.
But talk a little bit about that. What was the declaration the Pope made? As we're speaking of belief system.
It was really surprising for me while I was writing this blog to check the news and see that the Pope was all over the news because of his declaration, or it's supposed to be an interview as far as I understand, because I didn't went really down that rabbit hole because of the sensitivity of this window and what is happening and in Gaza and what is happening in the world and with these tensions between East and West and the nuclear powers, it is a really volatile to kind of jump into the details of what the Pope said. Right now, because I know that there are many people, especially here in Colombia, who love his message and who he is.
Yeah.
Came this year, this last year, and it was the longest visit of a Pope in South America. So it's this is an,
so basically,
I respect everyone's
reportedly,
faith. But,
yes, and with no disrespect to anyone's faith, but just based surely on
yeah.
the reporting that was happening, is the Vatican was made to have to try to make corrections where the Pope was interpreted as saying that hell does not exist. So
yeah.
that's,
yeah.
you know, and we're talking about belief systems, and I guess that's the point I'm making, is
mm-hmm.
that
yes,
the
yes.
existence of hell is a long-held belief in
mm-hmm.
Western
mm-hmm.
culture. And, you know, so that's an interesting, I think we can dive deeper at some point, if for the purpose of our show, we could look at, well, what does hell
yeah,
mean
yeah.
in that case? What's the biblical interpretation? Where does this idea come from? But, you know, that not being the point, I think it's important to note, though, that we are seeing some really interesting positions vocalized by this particular pope, whereas Pope Gregory XIII had a wholly different mission
yeah.
To obviously pursue. So this pope does appear
yes.
to be somebody who is, you know, since he, you know, was put in office as the you know, the pope, it seems that he's definitely made some interesting assertions or suggestions that continue to in some
yeah.
way undermine the purported belief or the projected belief of the Catholic Church vis-a-vis the Vatican. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually
yeah,
coming
it
up.
Is also, I'm realizing right now that we are speaking about this, that it was on this same day, 13-day cycle, from 53, King 53 to King 65, that he was in Mexico, visiting Mexico, and he was doing this is because that's the other layer, because we will have to peel the layer here by subjects also to make it easy
mm-hmm.
for people to digest, because this could be a lot of information also, and
totally.
And the fact that today is the signature of one read or one Skywalker
yeah.
King 53, that's it's called the frequency of the Syrian rebirth, or the 52 year mm-hmm. cycle of that the Maya used to track, expressed
yes.
let's say the 52 is the golden stick in the Mayan cycle. We have the 52 weeks
yeah.
in the year, plus one day
mm-hmm.
out of time. So these are a very important factor, because it's the one that connects the Sol King, that has 260,
yeah.
that's 5 times 52. So the 52 is the kind of the connecting frequency between lunar cycles and galactic cycles and solar cycles.
Yes. Yeah.
So the fact that it's also corresponding in prophecy to one read, which is the historical prophet Quetzalcoatl from Mexico, and is the represents rebirth. That's why the 52 plus one represents rebirth, because the plus one factor in this entire system is based on starting again. Closing a cycle and starting again. So today is a sort of a little green day, because we have the 52
okay.
days, which is a model of the 52 weeks, and we are completing one perfect hologram, and we are starting a new cycle. That's why it was important to have this broadcast today and share with more people around the world that the synchronicity and the auspiciousness of what is happening, because it's a very special way to recognize that the Maya and the entire system has the the entire is woven into the entire fabric of time. So it's in a day like today that is, it has all these connotations of new beginnings and endings. We are having this special frequency of the feather serpent, that is the cycle that ends and begins and creates like this Ouroboros. It's like the Ouroboros, the serpent that bites its tail because it's always starting again. And that, unfortunately, it had been misrepresented in Mayan cosmology as the end of the calendar. It's not representing the beginning and the end. They talk about the end of the Mayan calendar, but no one was talking about what happened after 2012, and we are still
well
into these cycles. We are still connected.
We're
to
in that very
the,
much.
Yes, yes.
Very
so,
much. And I think it's interesting to note, the fact that today is Kin 53, it's this Quetzalcoatl Christ energy in this day contained.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this as overlaid over Easter and the Fool, and then they get into what is the April Fool, as you said, relative to the calendar reform.
Yeah.
People who are still observing nature cycles, instead of following into the rhythm now that was being mandated by the Catholic Church, by the Vatican, they were, through peer pressure, labeled the April Fools. So that was as an insult to people who were still in sync with the nature, to the degree that they were in sync with the spring and the birthing of new life. I think that's really an amazing set of synchronicities here. I want to shift a little bit because we have a lot to cover tonight. We do have a guest, and they're on the phone. I'm going to bring them on in a moment. I want to play a little bit of music and make way for our guest. But where we want to really begin to shift the conversation, which I'm very excited about, is really looking at, what are the effects? What is the status of our mental health as a collective human society right now? Where is the dissonance happening, and how can we really move through it into the next level of our evolution, essentially? And I'm excited about the next guest because she's going to really help us, I think, give some perspective into that through her own journey. So we'll introduce her momentarily. And I'm going to go ahead and play a track that I've been drawing a lot of inspiration from recently by a reggae artist from Jamaica known as Chronix, and the song is called I Can. Thank you for tuning in to Calendar Truth here on Nowtime Radio. We're glad that you're with us for the ride.
The sun shall not smite eye by day, nor the moon by night, nor the pestilence that lurks in dark places, nor destruction that wastes its fruitful days. The time has just come.
When I look at where I'm coming from, I know I'm blessed, and I close my eyes and smile. Sometimes I feel like the richest man in Babylon, and I've done my best, so everything's alright inside. Oh, every morning I rise, I stare at the sun. I know it is a blessing. So when the evening comes, I lift up my jewels. I'm blessed, oh man, with my two hands in the air as far as I can. Good time until that day. Oh, every morning, oh, every
Opportunity here, as we have a wonderful friend who has been so gracious as to join us on the call tonight, Calendar Truth, here on Nowtime Radio. And her name is Katie Randall. She's a Minnesota native who works predominantly in the field of holistic health as a yoga therapist. And she's aiming to integrate her background from a therapeutic standpoint as a coach, a counselor, a teacher, with a social justice and wellness, mind, body, spirit, wellness focus. So I'm happy to have you here on Calendar Truth. Katie, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening. Greetings, Makua and Ruben.
Thank you. Wonderful. Nice to be here with you. This is great. You know, for us, this is just really special because we've had a chance to get to know you over the past few years. I'll kind of share with people that you were part, very instrumental in helping us in Washington, D.C. with the launch of the Banner of Peace and Tennis for Peace activity that took place quite a while ago. But that was an amazing launch. Ruben, do you recall the Gregorian date of that? That was in October of 2015, if I'm not mistaken. Is that about right?
I believe it was November.
I think we met a loss. Oh, was it November? Okay, it may have been November. It was quite a while ago. I'm not sure what happened to Ruben, though. I think we may have just lost him. So, nevertheless, hopefully they'll come back on. I'm not sure what happened there, but as we said at the top, Mercury's in retrograde. These things are about to happen. But the direction, and he just joined us again. Ruben, are you there? Can you hear me, Ruben? Okay, well, it looks like he's having a little bit of a challenge with the Wi-Fi connection on Bogota right now. But nevertheless, I don't want to waste any time in the conversation with you because we're really happy to have you on tonight. And I wanted to get right into it because as we're talking about this Easter synchronicity with April Fool's Day and with what this means historically as to calendar change that's happened, you know, nearly 500 years ago, Where do we find ourselves now in this sort of cycle and the energy and the reflection of the Pope at that time making certain declarations and the Pope now here in his own role and whatever that purpose may be serving to really, you know, say some fairly interesting, even controversial things that is causing, you know, some waves, it seems. It's interesting that we're seeing all this happen. And one of the interesting denials that seems to come that's sort of timed with the power and dominance of the church in many ways has been also the sidelining and actually the elimination of the feminine presence in the sense of the divine feminine. I could say yes for Catholic adherents. Obviously, there's reverence and honor given to Mary, you know, Mother
full
of grace, of course. And yet, in that, there seems to also be simultaneous with that, like this transition where the divine feminine was essentially cut out of a lot, more than being honored, you know, in the way that would really represent balance, equanimity. So I want to invite you into the conversation just to really get your perspective on a couple of things. I mean, one, and there's so many things because you and I have had some pretty powerful conversations, so many things I'd love to learn that I would love to hear shared with the listening audience. But among that is just let's learn a little bit about you and your journey that has brought you to where you are now, just even in the recent past.
Yeah, so, well, in 2015, you know, when I met Ruben and was introduced to the Banner of Peace and with Natural Time, it's interesting because from a feminine standpoint, while, you know, also, you know, making note that within each of us is the divine feminine and the divine masculine. But from a feminine standpoint as well, you know, we are created with our cycles to innately be in rhythm with the natural cycles. So it is it is interesting to watch the balances of the masculine and the feminine within each of us, and then as a whole, and how these imbalances come up. Was that Ruben?
I'm with you. We had a little bit of noise on the line. It's okay. But I'm
okay,
with
cool.
you. He was
right
he was not muted. He is now. That's good. Please.
Okay. Yeah, so just from that, you know, from that perspective, I personally, the way that I experience having the awareness or what I would consider remembering, because really what I think happens when you really begin to track these different events on certain days and over a period of time, when you really begin to look at this outside of the Gregorian calendar while it's happening simultaneously, you automatically begin to notice and become aware of the synchronicities within everything. And what fascinates me about this is that we all come into it with a different way of resonating. So, you know, my background, I've worked for many years as a therapist and a counselor and a teacher in all different types of atmospheres. And what I recognize is even within the systems that are structured or underneath this artificial time, there's so much stimulus that happens. And so a lot of the people that I have worked with, I mean, this is ranging from, you know, 2 years old to 65 years old. I feel like every single person I see is basically the same person. They're not resonating, or their frequency is not resonating with this artificial time, and in fact they're not actually connecting into these synchronicities, and the synchronicities are what is our natural way of living, or it should be in my opinion and from my viewpoint.
Indeed, that makes a lot of sense.
And the longer I, you know, I'm definitely still very new at following this, you know, or remembering, I'm new at integrating all of this information, but it is in flow so much because of simply having the awareness of these events that are occurring and when they happen, and for me, the energy that is occurring, because I'm very attuned to energy and how that flows or how it doesn't flow.
That's right. So let me ask you a question then. Cognitive dissonance, I've heard you use this term before. Can you share a little bit about what that means and then also how that relates to your work? And then I have a sense that it probably relates to maybe a description of the impact that following this artificial timing for so long has had on us. I mean, it gives us something to name it maybe. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, cognitive dissonance is a really fascinating concept in reality, because what happens is when we try to intake new information that on a subconscious level threatens our sort of security, our safety that we have created, we literally can't take in that information and we'll reject it somehow. That might be just a complete shutdown, or that could come, you know, in a way where we are very aggressive or very reactive. And the thing that happens, you know, physiologically is that when cognitive dissonance breaks down, our DNA is literally reconstructed, because it's the thing that strengthens us, is the thing that allows us to evolve. And unfortunately, we have this mass, you know, cognitive dissonance due to a lot of the ways in which that we've been programmed that don't allow us to really hear something that would threaten what we have created as our foundation of safety. And because of, you know, all of these events that are occurring throughout the world, and especially at this time, you know, one thing that I think is really imperative to note as well is that we are all really working through the traumas and of our ancestors, and we're all sort of doing this simultaneously from all different conscious standpoints. And so there are really deep-seated threads within this cognitive dissonance that we're speaking about that are directly correlated with our ancestry. And depending on where you've come from and where you have access to information is going to depend on how, you know, strong the dissonance is. And I believe is, you know, I am still really sort of unraveling what that means in the grand scope of things, but I believe that the epidemic of cognitive dissonance is something that is needed to be looked at for us to have more community members and more, you know, for us to just unite within these dialogues around around these events and what they mean.
That's right. Wow, that's fascinating, because, I mean, that obviously relates to so much, in particular, both on an individual level, but then the collective level as you're speaking of. I want to invite Ruben to speak also. As we're talking about the overlays of this holiday today, the Easter Sunday, April Fool's Day, and as I mentioned, part of the schema, if you will, of fooling the people or disconnecting people was the denial of the feminine in many ways, and pursuit of a domination quality. You know, the idea of dominion and domicile and domesticate and all of that in the way that domes have been constructed around the world over the past several hundred years. These are reflections, I think, in many ways of that intention. And so here we are also with the natural cycles. Ruben, you know, speak to the correlation with Venus and how Venus factors in just even to right now today, actually.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sending from here my best hug for you, Katie. You really were a very, very important woman in all the work that we have been doing in Washington, D.C. So I want to acknowledge that, and I want to acknowledge that your connection to the star and to this energy of Venus, that is probably a little bit what you were speaking when you were you were defining the divine feminine energy that is associated actually with the energy of the spring, with the energy of the earth, with the energy of life. And and that actually, as Laila June, the young woman from the Standing Rock movement, said, the original persecution of the feminine goes way back to the Middle Ages, where the people who were doing ceremonies in spring were kind of punished and persecuted. So all this connection from this energy and the movement of the start of the year from this week that actually even in the Bible, because we did also a little bit of research, if biblical events are narrated with this week as the starting week, and it's accurate. So we are speaking about an idea of that has been planted in the unconscious of the psyche that it doesn't allow a lot of people to connect really at a higher or a deeper level with the feminine energy, or with actually the energy of Venus is the energy of the five ratio of the golden proportion, because that's our relationship, that's the relationship of the orbits of Venus in reference to the orbits of the Earth, that they are in a perfect golden mean proportion. They are actually synchronized by the Sulcan, which is also integrated with the cycle of Venus. And in the article, we were actually mentioning that it was exactly 1 year ago that Venus was rising as the morning star on April 1st, because the conjunction with the Sun, which is it was the fourth of five conjunctions that take place in 8 years, and in those 8 years, Venus and the Earth create a perfect pentagram. If you connect those points of the planetary conjunctions when the two planets meet in an internal conjunction, we mean from a heliocentric perspective, we have the Sun, then Mercury, then Venus, then the Earth. When Venus is in between the Sun and the Earth, those points in at which they meet, they are in a perfect alignment to create a pentagram. So we are right now in the fourth point of that pentagram. And we are completing today 1 year from reaching that point. So it's also special because this energy of one read is connected to Venus also, to the archetype of the feminine. And in doing the research for the show, also we found out that in the Roman times, this festival was the festival of Veneralia, which is the festival of Venus, and as far as I read on the internet, it was related to venerating the innocence of the sexual energy, and this sexual energy is connected with this life energy of the spring. And the bunny, the Easter bunny, is actually a representation of that energy. That's why with these elements, they become symbols and in culture. And now we have also another interesting aspect, because this has all these layers of the synchronization of the cycles with the synchronization with events on Earth. Because it was yesterday that we completed 19 years from the release of the movie The Matrix, and it was prior to April Fool's Day. So this weekend, I found the news that there's a new movie that is from Steven Spielberg that is also released on Easter, during the Easter week, because the Matrix was also released 4 days before Easter Sunday, and now 19 years later, there is a new movie called One Player.
Ready Player One. Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm. Ready Player One. And it's all about virtual reality and a young boy that it's in the year 2044, and it's based on a novel of a dystopian Earth that was written in 2011. So they are putting these projections in the cinemas now in 3D. So it becomes like a nested experience of virtual reality. You're seeing the actual the fourth dimensional or the third dimensional effect on the special with these special glasses and chairs, and the other aspect of the programming that is happening through these movies, because we need to start to discern very, very well that this smart grid issue is really starting to be implemented very fast. So it brings many dangers for the health of for everyone, every living being, and it's being rolled out. And we are aware that technology is not that technology is bad, is that the technology in bad hands can be really harmful. And at this time, it's being used with very dark intentions. So this horizon that we cross in this from Equinox to Equinox, from our last show to this one, we saw the rise of artificial intelligence. We saw the rise of cryptocurrencies. We saw the rise of fake news, like to a new level, because now it's the censorship on social media and the scandals are all over the place. Yeah. So it's a very new territory, what is happening. And also, it's fascinating at the same time to see the show that is being projected to the masses, not only through these movies and these scenarios of dystopian Earths that people want to be in virtual reality because they don't want to be here anymore, and what technology is doing to people right now with just the addiction to the mobile phones and tablets, and what can do with a 5G that everything becomes connected, and that we have these very new also territory in technology that would be really hard to, it will bring a really tight grip on of control. Everything would be tracked, and according to, I recommend all the listeners to check with Max Hegan, because he has been really tracking this situation for the last 10 years. So I've been tracking his work for the last 7 years probably. And he has been really, really honest and really grounded about the problem that we have, all these ingredients that are generating a crisis, and no one is really ready to prevent the crisis, but it's just coming to proportions that we have not seen before. Now every week we see more news that are indicators of disharmony. Not maybe on the surface, it looks really. It creates a lot of polarity to have like these conversations, for instance, today. But it's necessary to understand this timing and what is happening in the world and what we are being called to do. He was speaking also, Max Egan, that there is no little people. I love that term, because basically everything that is happening right now, even if it looks very chaotic, it's because an idea was placed, and this idea is part of or is the reason why we are doing this show is because we have an untried solution that is creating harmony out of an instrument that is designed to measure harmony. It's we are seeing the world kind of going really out of control really fast, especially with technology and with these new possibilities that technology is engendering. I saw yesterday also the news that the Japanese company is already creating avatar robots for people to actually connect to these VRs and do anything from home. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that all these technologies that they look so far in the future, only probably last year, now we are actually seeing the actual expression of that in 3D.
Huh. So, I guess I want to ask Katie a question. I want to ask, in your work, and from your perspective and your experience, what would you guide someone to do as they are, you know, facing and reconciling this dissonance, cognitive dissonance that we're speaking of? And, you know, because I think what Ruben is speaking into is the present danger and need to be aware that there's something to shift or something to transform. But I know you work with people in these ways. So I'm just curious, even to the idea of socially speaking, societally, you know, what would you recommend could be helpful in assisting people in making this shift, such as changing their calendar and also the other things that contribute to the, you know, their enmeshment in this situation? Because we're all enmeshed, obviously.
We are in this together. you know, one thing that struck me as Ruben was speaking was the way that he was speaking about preventative measures. That stuck out to me as sort of like a side note question on his end of what preventative means, and coming back around to what you're asking me, the predominant thing that I find right now is really imperative is for people to be connecting with their ancestors, because this, we are becoming conscious, our you know, we are evolving into a space where our consciousness is the frequency is rising, and that is just what is occurring. And depending on where you are in this conscious space, where we're evolving very quickly right now, people don't feel safe and they don't really exactly know what's going on. I see a lot of people in pain and not exactly really truly knowing the root. And I mean, you know, we could go many directions with this, but what I find to really ground right now in what people can do is become aware of the reality, that, you know, this is not easy to evolve. This is not an easy feat of what we signed up to do, of why we're here.
And a lot of that is looking, like, just being real and really, really finding a space. That's why meditation is so important. You know, in my in yoga therapy, it's you know, people have their ideas of what that entails, but what I really, what it breaks down to mostly is the idea of connecting in with your breath, which is your prana, your vital life force, and meditation, which is simply going inward and becoming aware of your thoughts and becoming aware of how you identify and relate to your surroundings and to the beings that are in your life each day. And most people have quite a bit of challenges with the world, not even just, you know, the entire world, but their world around them, because they're evolving in a way that's not necessarily, a lot of people are, they're not conscious of it. And so it makes people feel anxiety, and it makes people depressed, and, you know, all of these psychosomatic experiences are happening, and then it manifests in the physical form. So you see it as a lot of people are sick in all different ways, but I think the underlying thing is not to be afraid, because fear is something that has been fed to us. It is not something that we innately have. It is taught, and to recognize that if that is your gauge and you can recognize that you have fear or anxiety of some sort, that it's not, you know, I might be told to say that it's not you, you know, that it's, that it is something in the environment, and to trust that each one of us is going through it in our own way. That's why community is so important. That's why it's really, really important to share, so that we can release these stories of shame or guilt or, you know, traumas or whatever we're holding, because it's no longer able to come with us where we're going. And,
That's right.
While all these events are happening, yes, it's true, and there's all these synchronicities that are happening, and I do believe that it's important and imperative for us to really know why they're happening, but I think it's really important to also recognize that we have the capacity to exist on a higher frequency and create a world that we really want to see. And if that is, in fact, what we all want together, then we have to change together and evolve together, and it's not easy. There's a lot of work to be done.
You got that right. We're here to do it, as you said. I mean, we're, you know, as we're having this conversation, and I really appreciate everything you're sharing, I think it's just totally in sync and resonates as truth, and so much appreciated. Thank you. And
absolutely.
I certainly see the connection with, I see and feel the connection as well with what Brother Ruben was sharing, because I think it is, it's this harmonic assembly of this wisdom, as you said, as we're each here with the responsibility of relating and connecting with our ancestors and starting there, and then bringing that presence, the high qualities, the great qualities of our ancestors into this work now, that, you know, the positive outcome is assured. I really truly feel that. I believe that that's the truth in relationship to where we're going, because I do see it. I see it. I feel it as you're traveling the world and connecting with people heart to heart and really person to person. I know you're experiencing that as well. I wanna echo a bit of what Ruben began to speak into. And now, Ruben, thank you. I see you just connected back on the line. But what you were speaking into in terms of the tool of the calendar, I want to play a little audio here, a clip called Calendar Reform and the Future of Civilization, because I think this really does speak into a way that we are able to become more resonant in our purpose and aware of these things that meditation can help guide us to in relationship to the purpose as to why we're here, and how we can really see through the challenges that we're seeing and that we're going to continue to see in many ways. But this is certainly some insight, and I think some wisdom into why changing the calendar is so essential as part of this transformation.
Calendar reform is the final act of history, and the first step toward Earth regeneration in the cradle of galactic culture. To change the calendar now is to change the course of history and to revolutionize altogether the future of civilization on Earth. In making these sweeping but accurate statements, we would be remiss if we did not present a brief history of modern calendar reform, so that we may be able to better grasp the subtleties and far-reaching implications of such reform. We must also understand that the timing of this calendar reform is of a vital nature and presents an evolutionary opportunity for humanity, which it cannot afford to lose. The topic of calendars and calendar reform is not a popular one, for the simple reason that the calendar in use functions as a dogma, and therefore there appears little reason to question it. Most people do not have any idea where the current calendar came from. People who live in mostly non-Western societies function with what is called a lunar calendar, as well as the more recent Gregorian calendar. The lunar calendars also dogmatize the sense of time. Though we speak of the Arab, Hebrew, or Chinese lunar calendars, for example, it should be kept in mind that there is only one moon, and hence all lunar calendars are actually the same measure. The lunar calendars in use measure the synodic cycle of the moon, from new moon to new moon. This is a cycle of 29.5 days. 12 of these synodic lunations take 354 days, 11 days short of the solar orbit of the Earth. The sidereal cycle of the moon, the measure of the moon from the same place it appears in the sky, is only 27.5 days. Between the synodic and sidereal measures, the mean lunar cycle is 28 days. While the lunar calendars in use by different world cultures is no way solar calendars, or a measure of the Earth's orbit, the Gregorian calendar in use today is an approximation of a solar calendar. We say approximation because, on the one hand, while the Gregorian calendar accounts for the 365-day solar cycle, inclusive of one extra day every 4 years, its standard of measure is irregular and corresponds to no natural cycle whatsoever. It must be unequivocally understood that an irregular standard of measure has a profound effect on the mind, especially an irregular standard of measure of time. This is because time is a mentally perceived phenomenon, unlike space, which is perceived through the senses. A standard of measure which is irregular and uneven is inherently problematic. Our sense of time is a fundamental perception. If the standard of measure of time that we use is irregular, then we must contemplate deeply and understand what it does to our mind over centuries of prolonged use. If the clock represents the mechanization of time, the Gregorian calendar is the instrument which normalizes the mechanization of time as a mental institution, inseparable from the irrational irregularities of its monthly count. In this way, modern human civilization has acquired its quality of institutionalized machine efficiency, inseparable from a host of irrational social problems, crime and war. Aside from the Vatican itself, which preceded and sponsored the Gregorian calendar reform, virtually all of the inventions, nation-states, and institutions of the modern world are incorporated in this calendar. Any attempt to reform the current civil calendar must come to terms with everything that is incorporated in this calendar. Some 200 years after the Gregorian calendar reform came the French Revolution and the call for a new calendar. The Republican calendar of 1793 replaced the Gregorian calendar with a 12-month schedule of 30 days each, plus a 5-day period at the end of the year. The French Republican calendar was essentially the same as a Babylonian type, which had the same way of dividing the year into 12 30-day months, with a 5-day purification cycle at the end. Every 4 years, this 5-day period of the French Republican calendar was extended to 6 days, to account for the quarter day. The 7-day week was replaced by the Decalogue, or 10-day cycle. The French Republican calendar lasted 10 years, until 1803, when it was replaced by the Gregorian calendar once again. The anti-ecclesiastical, pro-rationalist sentiment which animated the French Republican calendar was also behind the proposed calendar reform of the 19th-century French thinker Auguste Comte, 1798-1857. Best known as the founder of the modern discipline of sociology, philosopher and mathematician Auguste Comte had the opportunity in the 1840s of learning about a calendar of 13 months of 20 days each. This information came from travelers who had been to Tahiti, where this calendar was well known among the Polynesians. This universal indigenous calendar so impressed Comte by its harmonic form and biological truthfulness that he devoted several years to studying it before he finalized its form as the Positivist Calendar, presented at an 1849 session of the Positivist Society. Apart from Comte's proposal for a 13-month calendar, which of necessity observes an extra day out of time, the call for calendar reform continued in France and elsewhere in Europe, but with a focus on maintaining a 12-month cycle and a 7-day week. During the 1890s, there was considerable agitation for a new calendar to begin the 20th century. In 1900, a conference was organized in Eisenach. A conference was organized in Germany for the study of the reform of the Gregorian calendar. Throughout these efforts, the papal response was always very intense in the defense of the current calendar for liturgical reasons. But a further defense put forth by the Vatican was that any calendar reform had to respect the succession of the 7-day week. This argument of the Vatican very much restricts or even deadlocks the debate on calendar reform and essentially functions as a catch-22, which says, yes, you can reform the calendar, but only so long as there is no break in the succession of the 7-day week and that there are 12 months. Anyone skilled at problem solving will see that these guidelines very much limit the possibilities of calendar reform, and in fact, have been the cause of a lack of success of every effort at calendar reform in the last 150 years. Indeed, all that this argument really amounts to is an expression of the power of the Catholic Church to maintain its calendar as the world standard. This notwithstanding, it is of great interest that the 13-moon positivist calendar of Comte, originally derived from the indigenous Polynesians of Tahiti, figured again in the Pan-American Scientific Congress, held in Santiago, Chile from December 25, 1908 to January 5, 1909. In this seminal event, a Peruvian by the name of Carlos A. Hesse introduced a calendar reform using a 13-month calendar identical of that of Augusto Comte. While we cannot say exactly where Hesse derived his calendar, being from Peru, it is highly likely that he knew that the Andean civilization conquered by the Europeans possessed a 13-moon calendar, as did the Tahitians. Still in use today, the Peruvian 13-moon calendar is correlated to the 500-year Pachacuti cycles, and is currently in its 11th Pachacuti cycle, year 5506. The logical nature of the 13-moon calendar attracted English railroad magnate Moses B. Cotsworth, who formed the League of the International Fixed Calendar. In 1921, the International Chamber of Commerce in London, England, decided to promote the calendar worldwide, and the matter was taken to the League of Nations. During the 1920s, Cotsworth attracted the interest of George Eastman of Eastman Kodak, who organized a great campaign on behalf of the International Perpetual Calendar. At the League of Nations, a committee to study the topic of calendar reform received numerous proposals, but by far and away the most popular was the International Perpetual Calendar. In the United States alone, over 100 industries of great diversity of interest were ready to adopt the 13-moon perpetual calendar. The League of Nations determined that January 1, 1933 would be the date to commence with the new calendar. Since that year began on a Sunday, the perpetual calendar always begins on a Sunday and ends on a Saturday, while maintaining a close tie with the traditional names of the months of the Gregorian calendar, the 13th month being called Tricember. The opposition to the calendar was mounted against the null day, between the last Saturday of one year and the first Sunday of the next year. This is because 13 times 28 equals 364 days, or 52 perfect weeks, which is what attracted the accountants of industry, and the solar year counts 365 days. Despite the sheer self-existing perfection of form of a 13-month calendar, resistance to it focused on a great campaign against the unique null day, the very point by which it maintained its perpetual perfection. Here the inertia of institutionalized ignorance and disharmony were able to put a stop to this otherwise most successful effort at calendar reform. In 1931, the 111 delegates representing the 42 member states of the League of Nations listened to the 28 pages of the report of the Preparatory Commission. While many countries, including the United States, Brazil, France, Switzerland, and Germany, voted in favor of the 13-month calendar, Hungary, Italy, and the Netherlands voiced opposition to the institution of a perpetual calendar, which implied the introduction of supplementary days. Support for this antagonistic position grew with the objection of various astronomers, such as Federico Ulm of the Astronomical Observatory of Lisbon, and Pope Pius XI, who argued that the break in the succession of the seven-day week would create chaos and calamity. The Pope further argued that the matter of fixing the date of Easter was exclusively under his jurisdiction. This position was further supported by editorials in leading newspapers such as the London Times, October 13, 1931, which argued in favor of the religious scruples, and the New York Times, December 16, 1934, which echoed the reasoning concerning the damage to be done by breaking the weekly succession, a succession which, it was argued, had not been broken since the most ancient biblical times. Perceived as an attack on religion and the succession of the week, despite the great amount of money spent on the campaign to promote the 13-month calendar, the project floundered and could not withstand the conservative sentiments of the church, certain scientists, and leading periodicals. Supported by a counterinsurgency of various organizations wishing to create an atmosphere favorable to the abolition of the Gregorian calendar, a final effort was made in favor of a moderated 12-month calendar to occur on Sunday, January 21, 1939. However, this calendar also contained the notorious null day, and on September 4, 1937, the Committee of Communications of the Society of Nations in Geneva arrived at the conclusion that the time had not yet come to reform the calendar. In 1950, Pope Pius XII issued a pronouncement that the Church was not opposed to calendar reform, but was opposed to the proposals that included universal days, which are not days of the seven-day week. This sentiment is echoed in the 1962 Declaration of Calendar Reform at the conclusion to the Vatican II Ecumenical Council. As of the middle of the 20th century, the Gregorian calendar prevailed worldwide.
are today. We find ourselves now in this time of profound transformation. And hearing that narrative there describing the history of calendar reform and the future of civilization, I wanted to bring that in because I really think it speaks to provide some context as to even the purpose of this show and the purpose of the calendar referendum 2020, which does intend to put before humanity the option of actually adopting universally a harmonic standard of 13 months, 28 days. As we heard there, since the 1800s, that idea, since Auguste Comte, was an awareness. I didn't realize that it was actually something inspired, though, by the 13-month times 20-day calendar. This was also described as being, I don't know, it was interesting. I need to go back and listen to that again, but the fact that Auguste Comte put forth positivist calendar as the 1328 framework, I mean, is amazing when we consider the opportunity now where we find ourselves. And at this sort of fever pitch of all of these things and all of this responsibility that's tumbling in the DNA from the ancestors into each of our hands, you know, our purpose. I really appreciate, Katie, I really appreciate you for bringing in the energy and the focus on the ancestors, because essentially that is what this work is in many ways. And all that we're called to show up for, each of us, in our own right. So,
absolutely.
So, do you all have some closing thoughts? We have a few more. We have about 3 minutes, but I would love to ask Katie if you have any closing thoughts, and then I'll turn it over to Ruben. Is there anything that you'd like
I just want to offer my appreciation to both of you brothers for just playing a very powerful role in this. In this space and time, and for bringing awareness and sharing your insight and wisdom and heart, and for offering me the chance to share with you and everybody else out there. So thank you very much. Keep it going.
You're very welcome. Right on. Aho. No doubt. Thank you. Aho.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Brother
Yeah,
Ruben.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Katie, for your words and for your support all these times since we presented this idea. It's really encouraging to have you here at the beginning of the spring, and with all the crisis in the world, like bringing to birth this idea again, because it's a day of resurrection, and we really need hope at this time, because it's a really challenging time for many people and around the world, and we want to just make sure that we use this space with honoring the everyone's participation in this reality and in this process of death and rebirth that we are actually living every day and every night when we go to it, and we start a new day. So it's really important to renew the vows on this time and use this energy of the spring and of planet Venus to start a new cycle with a different perspective of the future. Thank you so much.
Well, give thanks to you both. Thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to the listeners out there. Be sure to visit us on online, Facebook at facebook.com/calendartruth, and also 13months28days.info. Visit the website, learn more about the Calendar Referendum 2020 initiative. One love in Lakesh. Alakim.
Aho.